Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns on individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game, amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit, this isn't A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition's starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you brought your A-game, amen. No rain from...
Hey now, it's the Mike and JD Show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God, Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Good. I'm kind of liking these midday things that we do, because it's easier, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, and I don't have to stay up all night to do it, especially because I get up at 5 in the morning usually. But so if you guys are listening to this on the Voices of Wrestling Network, I thank you for being here. We didn't get a chance to do the show on Sunday, and I'll explain why here in a minute. But if the audio sounds different, it's because I am actually at corporate headquarters. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see me in a nice shirt. My hairline is on full display, and I'm a little bit backlit. I got the Uptown Charlotte right behind me. I'm actually in a lobby area, like a little cozy spot. So we have a bunch of like hangout areas down here in the lobby. And then on the first and the second floor. And so you get like a little mini private spaces. I usually try to get like a private office up on my floor, but they're like, we're super jam packed today. A lot of people are in the office. So wasn't able to do that. So audio is not going to be great, but I hope everybody still enjoys it. But so JD, this is what happened on Sunday. So Sunday morning, I'm already exhausted because I stayed up till 1 a.m. watching Game 7. World Series, one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life, Dodgers over the Blue Jays. So sorry, Canada, your baseball team sucks. Not good enough. They're the fifth spending team in baseball. If they were the first spending team like the Dodgers, might have won. And for everybody that's complaining about the Dodgers spending too much money, you have shitty ownership. Not my fault, not our problem. Our team likes to win. So anyway, back to the Dodgers World Champs again. So there you go. Sorry for everybody's tears. Sorry, Canada. Sorry, King of the North. Your team sucks. But just kidding. Actually, Blue Jays are really freaking good. And Vlad Guerrero scared me to death. I thought he was going to actually, in the ninth inning, I thought he was going to smack a homer off of Yamamoto, but that did not work out for him. But anyway, so back up a couple of days on Halloween, we take the kids out trick-or-treating. We're from Hawaii, right? We spent the last 3 years in Hawaii. Halloween is like hot outside in Hawaii. And so this year we're going out and it was like a little bit chilly, not like cold, but chilly. We take my son out. He's only 1 year old. And he starts getting the sniffles on Friday night. Saturday, he's a little bit sick, but he's like, okay, we're still kind of going out and doing things. By Sunday, he's kind of a bit of a mess. Bugs coming out, hoarse voice. He's got a little bit of a cough. And then by Sunday night, he's running a fever. And so my wife and I have to like divide and conquer at that point. So my son just wouldn't go down. My wife was with my daughter. My daughter having a little bit of trouble sleeping. I was like, okay, so I have my son. It just wasn't going to work out. And plus, I'll be honest, I had not watched any like wrestling whatsoever other than like two matches the previous week. So I just was not prepared to do a show on Sunday night. And so JD and I were able to link up right now on our lunch breaks at our work, at our respective offices, me and Charlotte and JD in Illinois. So how are things going for you, man?
Oh, good. Just sitting in class right now. Got a couple off periods. So you got your corporate stuff on. This is what I wear to work every day. I got my USA Wrestling t-shirt and my headband with my long hair. So, you know, teaching is I'm lucky that I work in a place they're not like super strict about what you wear to work. Yeah. So it's good. I'm good.
Well, you know, I'm used to having a uniform. And so they're not like super strict. It's business casual where I work. And last week I wore a polo like a couple of days. And then one day I untucked it and I looked around and I thought I was going to get yelled at by a chief master sergeant or something. I'm just like, so I got like PTSD, like in more ways than one, like just about like how my appearance, you know, I always make sure I fix whatever follicles I have left. I try to put like gel in them and then I make sure my shirt's tucked in. I got slacks on and a nice button up shirt from Macy's. So I try to dress a little bit nice for work, but occasionally I'll throw on a polo and keep it untucked a little bit.
Well, that's the difference is you were in the military and I worked freelance for 15 years and now I'm a teacher. So like, I don't know. I think if we show up with pants on, I think the people here are happy with you. Like as long as you're not brutally offensive or wearing a shirt with a giant middle finger, I think they're like, okay, fine, whatever. Do they get the job done? Do all my friends are PE teachers and they wear sweats to work every day. So, you
know. Well, they have to wear a workout attire. That makes sense.
It does make sense. But you see your friends going to work in sweats and you go, why do I want to wear a button-down shirt? Like, it just, you know.
Dude, I'm weird. I can't even wear sweats to Walmart. I have to put pants on before
I can't either. I'm so – my wife will wear a hoodie ever – because she works from home, and she's worked from home since 2008. So she's, like, so – she. I don't even think she owns work clothes anymore. Like, she will wear a hoodie and a pair of sweatpants every single day. Like, and I am – I'll wear a hoodie, but I cannot wear sweatpants. Like, I like a hoodie. I'm very comfortable in a hoodie, but I can't do sweatpants. I cannot do it. It is so uncomfortable for me. I can't – in the summertime, I can't even wear, like, workout shorts, like, out and about. Like, you work out in workout shorts, and that's it. Like, I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm usually, like – I have not been able to wear sweatpants in years because I've been in Hawaii. But now that I'm here, like, it's cold in the morning, so I've been rocking the sweats, like, around the house and stuff. But if I got to leave the house or go do something – I definitely put pants back on. Although, like, the other morning, the whole neighborhood was asleep, and we were taking the kids on a walk. So we have to walk our children to get their energy out. And there's a walking trail that leads to a lake that's kind of close to our house. So I did that in sweats. But for the most part, I'm always putting, like, jeans on or pants or even, like, slacks or something on.
Well, I don't like slacks. We have to, like, I'm a jeans guy for the most part. Like, I can't even – I don't even feel comfortable sitting around the house. Like on Christmas morning, I'll wear pajama pants or sweatpants. Or if I have a morning workout, I'll wear sweatpants to the gym. Yeah. Like I can't do it otherwise. It just makes me feel so uncomfortable. On the same token, our athletic director requires us all to coach in khaki pants, which if you're a wrestling coach is fucking ridiculous. Because if I go coach in the world championships, I'm going to be wearing track pants. But to coach some dumb fuck dual meet, I have to wear I love my ED, but it is a massive point of contention between us because unlike you who came up in the military, I have a wicked anti-authority streak in me. So the fact that like he like, well, you have to look good and wear khaki pants. I'm like, it's ridiculous. And I told him all the time, it's ridiculous. Khaki pants. I fucking hate khaki pants more than anything in the whole world. Hate it.
So funny. I had an anti-authority thing for, I would say, the first 15 years of my career, which is why I retired as a master sergeant and not a senior master sergeant. It took me a long time to make technical sergeant, which is an E6. It took me 4 tries, and it's because I could never get like a higher level rating on my performance report, my annual report. Like I was just getting like meets all the requirements, not exceeding all the requirements, something like that. And the number one thing I would get is like, you don't like to do anything outside of work hours. You don't like to volunteer. You're not going to school. And you have a problem with authority. So you talk back. You always fight. You fight for yourself. You fight for your airmen. And I was like, I thought those were good qualities, but in the military, sometimes those are good qualities, but you have to find the right way to do it and find the right battles to fight and let go of the small shit. So, once I made technical sergeant, I think I was like 14 years in or something like that. And then I started running my own shop and I realized like, I'm not going to get anything for these people if I'm going up to the leadership all the time and fighting every single battle. So I needed to build some equity with the leadership. So I would give in to certain things that I didn't think I necessarily needed to give into. I would give into them because they were so small that I didn't feel like if I say yes to this stuff, maybe whenever I go to say no to some of the other stuff, they'll take me a little bit more seriously. And that ended up being the case. Like I learned how to build equity with my leadership and like I learned those skills. It took me a long time to learn those skills. And then I had them perfected by the time I left the military.
Well, I still take a freelancer's approach to everything. You get in, you work, and you go home. Working, and I think that's saving me working in a high school. Because, again, I'm a fourth-year teacher, and I got recruited to be working here, right? Like, they hired me because of what I did in the work world. But working in a high school is like being in high school. So many of my coworkers went from high school to college back to high school. So they kind of – it's very, very how do I put this? 902-ish sometimes with how my coworkers are. Case in point, it's my off period and I'm doing a podcast. If it were not doing a podcast, I would be exercising. Like, I don't want to go sit in the break room and talk about what other people are doing and their lives and like the gossip. Like, I have zero interest in that. So, like you say, you don't want to fight every battle. So I don't. I lay out a lot of things, but when I believe in something, I'm going to go to battle. Right. And I'm a firm believer that like if something is stupid, I'm going to say, hey, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't. You're right. You can't do it.
Right. Yeah. No, I totally get you. A couple years before I retired, we had this issue. So I had an airman got himself in a little bit of trouble and had his rank taken away. He went down in rank and he worked his way back up to get that rank back. And it took him like almost 2 years to get there. Wow. And when you get a new rank, that comes with the promotion ceremony. And like every month we do a promotion ceremony. So whoever gets promoted that month, we do this big thing for them, a full ceremonial. You got all the flags up, commander, you get your certificate, you get your new rank put on. It's a big deal. Well, this guy was looking forward to this. He got his rank back. And the day before, he had already had his family, like his wife took off work. His kids are going to be out of school and he's getting ready. He's planning on being in there at the ceremony the day before. Leadership says he can't be a part of it. And they tell me this. Now, I had not fought a single battle in months, right? There's some stuff that I said no to, but it was a no, but can we do it? Can we do it this way? Or like, you know what I mean? It's like, yes, but.
Yes, but.
Like, here, it's contingent on these other things falling in line. Like, I would always try to make things work for them. But this one was a flat out, I am not standing for this, and I'm willing to go to you, above you, through you, around you, whatever I have to do, I'm going to race hell until I get my way on this one. And thankfully, my flight commander, the officer above me was the same way. And we didn't even have a conversation about it. I went to my enlisted leadership and he went to the officer leadership at the same time without us having a conversation and fought the same battle at the same time. And we won that freaking battle the next day. Our guy got to get his promotion ceremony. They're like, he didn't deserve it because he got in trouble. I was like, doesn't matter. Like he fought back to get to where he's at now. Right. And guess what? I just got a message like a couple months ago. That guy made the next rank up. Right. So like we fought for the right guy. We fought for the right guy. Knucklehead, complete fucking butthead, but I loved him. Right. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'm trying to rehabilitate the guy's career and he seems to be doing pretty well now. But, so this is not a leadership podcast, although it can turn into.
Are you sure?
it turns into that, or it's not like how to survive work politics podcast. Speaking of work politics, I thought it was interesting. So you and I probably haven't really been watching a ton of wrestling lately, and so I was just like looking at some of the news stories. There's not really any like super huge urgent news out there right now.
Can I be honest with you, Mike? Pro wrestling sucks. Pro wrestling sucks right now. Like I rarely go on Twitter, but I saw a person on Twitter go, this is the best year AEW's ever had. I'm like, that's not true. Like, this is not accurate. Like, and even WWE is starting to like drop. Like, I saw some of the photos from the last SmackDown. Like, they're starting to look you know, pro wrestling is starting, let's be real, it's starting to wane a bit. It's not bad. We're not like, it's not 1992, but I mean, like, we're not, we were having like 2022, like post pandemic, we were getting these great crowds and TV was good and people were excited. Yeah. And we're kind of in a lull right now. And this happens. It's a cyclical business. You know, wrestling in Japan hasn't been this bad since Antonio Inoki tried to make everything fake real. Like, it's just, it's not good right now anywhere.
Yeah. So SmackDown, they had, they were in a, like a 15,000 seater or something like that. And they had like 4,500 people there, which
that's some AEW level shit, man.
That's legit. Like, that is AEW level stuff. That's what AEW did at their latest pay-per-view. I think they had like 6,000 at the Kiel Auditorium or whatever, whichever one it was. I can't know. Chavis Center in St. Louis. I don't know if those are the same things or not. I can't remember if.
Oh, either. Cause, like,
When I went to wrestling in St. Louis, I went to the Kiel Auditorium. I don't know if it's the Chavis Center now. I don't know if they're the same thing, but
I think it is. I'm gonna continue. Okay. I'll look it up actually.
Okay. So yeah, so it isn't in a bit of a lull. I think there's lots of things happening all concurrently at the same time. For WWE, there's too much of it. they have too many shows, they're running way too many shows. They're not good enough, and ticket prices are too high. I was talking to my wife about, like, hey, if WWE comes to town, they run the Spectrum Arena, which is literally, like, we share a parking lot with them, right? Like, I actually have to pay the Spectrum Center for my parking every month. So when I'm off work, I can literally just walk across the parking lot and then go to the Spectrum Center, right? I was talking to her about, I was like, that'd be a really fun day. I could just kind of come in a little bit later at work and then, you know, stay later and then go to the show. And then after the show's over, hop in my car, which is in the parking that I pay for, and come home. And I wouldn't be home in like a too crazy of an hour. And then I started to think about it. And I was like, but you know what? I'm not spending $250 for nosebleeds to go see WWE. It's just not going to happen. Right. Which I'm not a WWE guy, but if like they're here and it's like across the street, I'm going to go. Like I still have fun going to shows. You know what I mean?
So here's an update. The Kiel Auditorium that we old wrestling fans know actually closed in 1991 or 1992. The building was demolished and it was rebuilt across the street was the Kiel Center,
yes,
which was then the Savas Center. Then Scott Trade Center is currently the Enterprise Center because the names of buildings don't matter anymore. It's all who's
ready
for anything, whatever.
Yeah. So I think I think we called it the Kiel. So I went to shows in St. Louis like in 2000, 2001. I think I went to like No Mercy. It was Edge versus Christian in the ladder match. Two of the top stars in AEW, like in 2001, in a semi-main event. Yeah. So, but I think there's a lot going on like for WWE. Like the shows just aren't good enough and the ticket prices are too high. Right. And people are like, and I said, like, I've seen all the complaints. I was like, here's how you rectify the situation. You don't go. Mm-hmm. Like, that is what they understand. You just stop going. Once you stop going, and then prices will go down, right? And then if you stop watching, then they have to work hard to get the quality back up to hook people back in. And which was a good thing for WWE once Vince left, Triple H took over, right? And AEW was a big threat. Like they were working hard to neutralize that threat by not only like sabotaging AEW, which is what they were doing and they're still doing, mm-hmm. but they're making sure that they're producing good quality shows and listening to the fans. And then they got so far ahead, they quit doing that, right? And they've kind of reverted back to a lot of the old ways. And while still sabotaging AEW, it's like, well, hey, we don't have to be good. We can just sabotage AEW. And we have enough people on our side that will say the show is good even when it isn't, because they're just on our team, right? Mm-hmm. And as long as we're making money and selling, they will still feel like they're a part of some successful brand, and the quality be damned. And that's starting to the tide is turning on that as well.
Yeah, we're in a rough spot right now, like overall. Like I feel like AEW is trying, but it's just not clicking. Right.
Yeah.
It's like WCW in like 93, 90. Well, that's not true. We like WCW 93. It's like WCW 95 right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the effort is there, but like the execution is just like.
Well, the effort, WCW 95 is actually a good comparison because the effort is there, but we got puppets. the effort is there, and we got top stars doing the Macarena, right?
Yep.
The effort is there, and we can't not be silly, and we revert back to the same old stuff that we used to do. And it's like, I look, Mike loves tournaments and Mike loves all these other things, but like, it's like you guys have told us you're going to be better before, and like, you go back to what we're doing, but we kind of know that that's going to change in a couple of months anyway. Like, you're not going to keep your foot on the gas.
Here's the reality of things. I don't even blame Tony anymore. I'm to the point now where I think that we have to accept the fact that the vast majority of pro wrestlers growing up were fucking nerds, right?
Yes.
So they're
today's.
Yes. They're growing up, you know, fighting. They aren't growing up, you know, watching UFC or even the NFL. They grew up playing and doing playtime. Yeah. So, like, when they're left to their own devices, you get nerd shit.
Yeah.
And I got a Batman poster behind me. Like, I'm a nerd. But
you're
like,
a fucking nerd.
I mean, I fully embrace that. Yeah. But I mean, at the same time, I don't want to see Bandido doing the Macarena. I'm fucking sick of seeing a puppet. I don't like. I looked at some of these NXT highlights, and Tatum Paxley talks to dolls, and Mr. Iguana has a stuffed animal, and it's everywhere. It's fucking everywhere, and it's just, except one company. One company is trying to save us all, and we'll talk about that company later. Like, I gotta eat some crow, and it's just like, it's all fucking bad right now. And I don't, again, Tony's trying to make his talent happy, but at some point you have to look at Harley and go, put the fucking puppet away.
And right? Mercedes. Yeah.
Mercedes. These people are going to go into war games and try to kill war. They're more war games than what Triple H does in war games. Let's be real. Like, they're going to go into war games, and I'm supposed to think they're going to kill each other. And if there's a puppet that shows up in war games, I'm going to lose my fucking mind. And the worst part is, I can't even say it's the worst thing that's happening to war games, because I watched those late stage WCW war games. So we're back. We're like back to like the shit doldrums. And I'm just tired, man. I just want to enjoy my hobby.
Yeah, me too. I want to, for WWE, there's just, Nico has a good comment. Swerve and Ospreay being away makes it feel like a completely different promotion. I do feel that way. I feel like those were two guys that I looked forward to. You know, I feel like we're all chasing that dragon with AEW of what they were coming out of the pandemic, right? Like, that was just so huge. Like, 2021. AEW, like, you had the early stage before the pandemic where they were super hot on TNT, and then the pandemic killed everybody, right? Like,
everybody.
And we were all just watching because we were just trying to feel some sort of normalcy, so we were willing to overlook probably how bad some of that TV really was. And I thought during the pandemic, AEW was putting on the best TV out of anybody, because I just thought that they had a real creative way of doing it. WWE brought in the Thunderdome, and I thought that actually kind of, like, for pandemic looked cool, but what they were putting in front of the Thunderdome wasn't good. So it was like Vince at his worst during like creatively at that time.
Yep.
So, and then coming out of the pandemic, AEW, boom, they're hot crowds, big crowds, boom. Then you got CM Punk, boom. Adam Cole, boom. Bryan Danielson, boom. Like, and now we're starting to think, like, this company is going to take over WWE. And like, if people don't want to admit this, but there was a lot of us that thought that AEW was going to have higher numbers than Raw one day, because I did.
I was not one of them. I was very bullish on that.
I thought Raw was going down, 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 and AEW was coming up, 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 and they were at some point going to have a cross section, and they stayed like this. And then, like, all of a sudden, it was like this, and Raw is going down much slower than AEW, and AEW went down really fast, and that had a lot to do with Punk leaving, to be honest with you. But I think creative burnout from the boss man there, and then relying on surprises was a big issue. And so it was just like, you know, you could write a million different reasons why. It wasn't because they didn't have good matches, because they had those. The problem is, we get fucking 50 of those a week and nobody cares about them anymore.
Yeah,
like, we got oversaturated with really good matches, right? And so that also became a problem, right? To where like Mike is like, I remember it was months ago, and you were like, I think you were excited that Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly were going to have a match on pay-per-view, and I'm like, I thought that I think it was you.
Does that sound like me? It was not like, me. I was not excited.
You were like, but you were like, you, and I was like, okay, they're going to have a good match, but like, who gives a fuck? It's like, yeah, they're It's like they're going to kick out of each other. They're going to kick out of some moves. Like,
you're going to have to clip that. I was not excited. I was. That does not sound like me.
I might be misremembering something.
There might have been something else that I was excited about as a match. And on pay per view, I want good matches. Like that's what I want from an AEW pay per view. I want killer matches after killer matches because that's what still draws for them on pay per view. The problem is like. We're so, and I hear Joe and Rich talk about this. They want like good matches on Dynamite, but in reality, like nobody gives a fuck, and they become so forgettable. So what do we get? We get like we've reached this phase sometimes where it's like New Japan tag matches on Dynamite. Yeah. No one gives a fuck about those. Like in New Japan, I don't give a fuck. I mean, like the wrestling. I'm excited. I'm actually gonna watch in 2 weeks, like War Games show, and I'm pretty jazzed about that because it's like my favorite. It's always been my favorite gimmick match. So I'm pretty jazzed about that. But like other than that, it's hard. Like, cause I don't feel like it counts. And they haven't made a lot of those matches count for much. You know, at least it feels that way. It feels that way. And even if it's not true, you could tell me, well, JD, this, and this happened. But again, it's like pissing into a bucket. It doesn't matter anymore. I don't even know, and I don't even know how to feel better about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think that something's got to change within, you know, all of it. You and I had this conversation. I've had this conversation with several other people. Like, I could scale down to watching, like, each company once a month. Just watching the big shows once a month. I watched a little bit of Saturday Night's Main Event and because I wanted to prepare for this show. I would not have otherwise if we didn't have this show that we were doing.
Is it weird to me that I think WWE shows, I know there's way more people than AEW shows, but for some reason, the way Triple H and I forget the name of the producer on that show now. Yeah, there's like 1,000, there could be 10,000 people in the building and it looks like there's 400. Like they just, they black out the background and it makes it look so cheap. Like I really hate WWE. I never loved the Kevin Dunn stuff, but I mean like I just think it looks so vacant sometimes when you look at the ring. Like it just, like at least the product looks different. For years I said WWE product looks the same as it did 10-20 years ago, and it looks different now, but it's like empty. I don't know, man. I'm not crazy about the way they shoot those shows anymore.
I haven't noticed that. That never occurred to me. They always seem like they're full to me, but they also do a lot of like making sure that you know that the house is full, other than on SmackDown when it wasn't. But anytime they've ever had a big crowd, I always felt like they did like these aerial views and like wide shots occasionally, but maybe not during the matches.
I'm talking about during the matches, like during the matches. Like Triple H still likes it lit like black and gold era NXT.
Yeah,
you know, which is just, I don't know. It feels like you're defanging your best attribute. I don't know. Like we're bitching about the wrong thing. Continue.
Yeah. So our main topic though today, I just thought it was interesting, and a lot of people are getting up in arms about it. But CM Punk obviously won the world title in a match with Jey Uso, that had, believe it or not, JD, was a match where they exchanged a bunch of finishers. They used each other's finishers. They kicked out of their own finishers. And then eventually CM Punk got the victory. And of course there was a couple botched spots because it's Jey Uso. And CM Punk had the worst looking spear I've ever seen in my life. Like you can tell he never played football. So how would he know how to do a spear? But he got the victory. Jade Cargill beat Tiffany Stratton. And then after the show was over, CM Punk, Jade Cargill, Cody Rhodes, and Ricky Starks, or Ricky Saints now in WWE, all took a picture together, which you can see on our thumbnail. And Ryan Armstrong makes this point. I was going to bring this up, but I'm glad he brought this up. They forgot to include Mariah May, but they also forgot to include Ethan Page, because Mariah May is the North American Women's Champion. Ethan Page is the North American Men's Champion in NXT. So that's what, 6 champions, all former Elite? I mean, if that's not WWE's trying to send a message to talent in AEW that there is a better life ahead of you should you leave, I don't know what is.
Like, oh, it definitely is. And they also have talent. But it's funny, they told me for years that AEW didn't have any talent. I don't know. I think it's a good thing. If you sign people from the other company, shouldn't you push them? Like, it just that makes sense to me. I think they didn't fly Ethan Page and Blake Monroe there because they don't matter. And TKO wasn't willing to spend that extra money to get them there specifically for a picture. They did it with Ricky because there's this narrative that Tony dropped the ball with Ricky Starks, even though he pushed him. And like Mariah May was actually like a legitimate draw who they pushed. She was one of their most beloved feuds ever. So
a legit main event talent. I have a different theory as to why Ricky was there and the other two weren't.
Oh, wait on me.
Cody Rhodes' bags ain't going to carry themselves. Right? Ricky's got to be there.
That's true. Ricky Starks' best attribute is that he's Cody Rhodes' buddy.
That's a joke. I think Ricky Starks is a hell of a talent. I actually really like him, but the joke was that I had to take it.
But that's why they didn't push him. They did push him. They pushed him to an extent, and when Ricky pretty much made it known that he wasn't going to resign, then Tony's like, all right, I'll stop pushing you. Like, it was the same with Blake Monroe. They maximized her. This is interesting to me. I thought there was nothing more fitting than seeing CM Punk go crazy over holding that fake ass world title, right? It just encapsulates the last 3 years of CM Punk, right? To the point where he is openly being the guy that he hated being a decade and a half ago, right? Yeah. It's entertaining to me that and while playing a subservient role to Cody Rhodes, who did the same for him in AEW. Like, this whole thing is just like a super fascinating Rorschach test. Like, I love the whole thing about it.
Wasn't one of the reasons, like, I know it's never really been explicitly like said by Cody or anybody in AEW, but isn't it one of the prevailing theories as to why Cody left is because they did bring on CM Punk and he knew he was going to get past CM Punk, and now he goes to WWE and he becomes like the guy, and now CM Punk is the next guy below. And honestly, CM Punk's only the champion, or he's got the B trophy because Seth Rollins got hurt. Like, he was never meant to have that title.
It's so CM Punk, right? Remember when he had that year-long reign with the WWE title? Like, it was John Cena and Randy Orton's promotion. They just let Punk have that belt for a year to say he had. It was just to placate the guy. Like, he's always in AEW, he was the centerpiece. But WWE, he's always like broccoli, right? Yeah. It's an important part of your meal, but it's not the centerpiece of the meal. So it's fascinating to me that Punk fully is just embracing what he always was in that company. Like, everything reeled against, he's now like, yeah, man, that's me. Like, it's so weird to see somebody like completely abandon the things they used to stand for.
Well, you know, I think once you get into your 40s and you've been fighting the system your whole life, now you're just like, I just want to make as much money as I can and be happy. And maybe that's why, like, maybe he's finally matured and like that's where he's at in life. Is that happened to, like, we were talking about like our careers. That happened to me in the military, where I was like, I was constantly railing against like the establishment. And then once I got married and I had kids and like I have to be successful, I was like, I'm still gonna be me, but I can't always be on all the time. And like I said, I gotta pick my battles more wisely. I gotta try to make money.
I don't believe that. Are we pretending that CM Punk wasn't making a ton of money in AEW?
Oh no, he was, but he also ruined that opportunity, right?
He did.
With his behavior. And so now he's on his last chance. So he's like, I need to just like stop being like that guy all the time and just kind of like become a part of the establishment.
I mean, he left himself with no choice. The problem is, I believe CM Punk is a fraud. The whole Bobby Fish podcast where he basically kind of called out Punk. Where Punk's like,
can you summarize that for us? Because I didn't hear that, but I do know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, Bobby Fish did a show recently where he talked about kicking out of the Go to Sleep at 3.5, and CM Punk got really pissed about that. You know, and apparently
I say rightfully so, but go ahead.
Well, apparently there was a miscommunication in there.
Yeah,
and Bobby Fish kind of Punk goes, "Is there a problem?" And Punk went, nope, no contact with him, didn't. And he's like, and Bobby Fish very calmly, and it's a little passive aggressive, he's like, I thought men handled their problems. I thought if there were issues, men would handle it. The problem is Bobby Fish can actually fight. Like, I know it's, like, you can say what you want about Bobby Fish. Bobby Fish is, like, legit. Like, Bobby Fish actually has a background in martial arts. CM Punk very famously did not. I always give him credit for trying, but Bobby Fish was legit, right? And so
CM Punk can beat up the Young Bucks. He cannot handle a guy who can handle himself like Bobby Fish.
Correct. CM Punk is very happy to bully the Young Bucks, and he was very happy to bully Jack Perry. But you hear the stories about how Punk and Kenny Omega were always kind of cool with each other. You know,
Omega can handle himself.
Because Kenny Omega, for all that we think about Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega was a junior hockey star with a jiu-jitsu background who can actually fight. And like,
and I think he has trained in combat sports in all the different disciplines. Went through some of those Japanese dojos, and actually at one point was thinking about a career in MMA whenever he left the WWE developmental system, but decided to stick it out with pro wrestling because at his heart he is what does Cornette call him? Kenny Olivier. He's an over the top performer, and that's what he loves.
Which is so funny because, like, I think Jim Cornette, if he could get past it, I think Jim Cornette would actually really like the real Kenny Omega, the real Tyson Smith.
Yeah.
Like, but like, I don't know. Jim Cornette's weird. I don't want to get into that whole thing.
Kenny Omega doing the stuff with the dolls and the little girls. Cornette's not ever going to get past that. It's just not going to happen. If that doesn't happen, I think Cornette likes him.
I think you're probably right. I think that's pretty much it. But he was, again, playing to that audience that wants it. Like, DDT audiences like stupid shit. I hate DDT. Always have. Same always here. Like, but at the same time, like, Kenny Omega is a guy who'll fight. Doesn't act like it, but he will. So that's the thing about Punk. Punk is a classic bully. Like, he'll throw his weight around when he can until he realizes that there's a guy who's not going to give a fuck that he happens to wield a lot of power. So he basically had Bobby Fish basically insinuated that he was taken off TV shortly after, which he was, and his contract wasn't renewed, which it wasn't, which is why there wasn't a whole lot of Red Dragon or Undisputed Elite stuff in AEW as much as we thought there should be, because Punk had a beef with it. Right. Yeah. So like, that's the whole thing about that, is that CM Punk is kind of a fraud. Like, I've always said, John Moxley is the guy CM Punk pretends to be.
Yeah.
Right. And like, because that's a guy who will go out and fight in actual tournaments. John Moxley has a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's gone. He's won Naga tournaments. He's lost Naga tournaments too. But he's out there doing it, not just pretending to do it. Right. And it's just like, I don't know, man. I've kind of gone 180 degrees in my thought of Punk with the more things come out there, and just the whole WWE. And I know you could say, like, oh, you know, he's got nowhere else to go right now. But you and I both know Tony would take him back in a heartbeat. Like,
I think you and I had heard that Tony never wanted to let him go.
He
had no choice. So it was either the Young Bucks or it was CM Punk, and a lot of people, and I think even us at the time, probably would have said, maybe you should get rid of the Bucks at that time. CM Punk was the top drawing star, and the Young Bucks were really passive aggressive and refused to even talk to CM Punk without speaking to a lawyer first.
Look, I totally get wanting to punch Matt and Nick Jazz in the face. I understand that. I totally get that. But then be the guy and be willing to step up to Bobby Fish.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Yeah, absolutely. But then I think, you know, I never had a problem with him returning to WWE. In fact, I think that makes sense. What he's done since he's been there is completely sold himself out towards the guy that you once were, you no longer are. So stop trying to pretend to be that guy. But then in a way I can understand it in a way, because he's like, at some point you got to stop fighting everything and everybody and just settle it down. And if maybe you're in the system, you might be able to fight a little bit better. But when he came out and like completely apologized to Saudi Arabia,
quit trying to pretend to be that guy. Like, this is a guy who used to wear like trans rights shirts on TV. He doesn't do that anymore, but he'll sit there and do like little quick passive aggressive things for things that used to be passionate for him on his Instagram feed, but nothing publicly anymore. Like, it's just like, if you're going to be John Cena, be fully John Cena and believe in nothing. Like, learn to speak Mandarin, like, be the corporate ass kisser. Like, if you're going to be the guy you used to make fun of, don't pretend to still be the old guy. And that's my beef with him, is he still pretends to be that old CM Punk, and that guy's long gone.
Yeah, that guy is completely long gone. But look, I think he's like, what, 47 now? I wouldn't expect a 47-year-old to be the same guy that he was when he was 25. You would hope not, but he's pretending to be.
Well, Mike, let's discuss some guy who might actually be the same guy who's trying to find his way back.
He might actually be worse. So you and I have been like toying with watching MLW again. Like, we've been like bouncing the idea around. We know Joe and Rich, like, are fans, like, they've been watching it. So we hear them talk about it. Well, they watched the latest show from Charleston, South Carolina. I cannot remember the name of the show. It was a Don Gatto Presents, whatever it was. And like, Austin Aries was in the main event of that show versus Mystico. And Joe and Rich could not say enough good things about that match. I was like, there's no, like, Austin Aries, he's got to be the same age or even older than Punk,
I think,
right?
He's the same age. I think they're the same age.
They came around the same time. Austin Aries has gotten fired from a lot of different places. From, you know, he got fired from TNA. Austin might actually watch this and correct me on this. So if I'm saying anything out of turn, feel free to correct me. I'm at work and going off the top of my head, but I know the guy's been fired a lot. I know he got canned from WWE. I remember he came into Impact Wrestling when he left WWE in 2018. They immediately made him the world champion, and he had a little bit of a run there in Impact Wrestling. He went to the main event of Bound for Glory and was working a match with John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, and or whatever he's called now in AEW. Johnny never gets on TV.
Was he Johnny Impact at the time?
He was Johnny Impact, and then Johnny Mundo and Lucha Underground.
Yeah, Johnny
and Mundo. So they were in the main event of Bound for Glory. Johnny Impact wins the title. Austin Aries completely no-sells the pin. He did way worse than Bobby Fish. He didn't just kick out on 3.5. Like, he just got up, flipped off Don Callis,
and walked away.
and walked out, like, and let the entire audience know that this whole thing was fake.
Yeah.
After the thing was, is that was a really good match up until that point. Like, they were beating the shit out of each other. I thought that was a good match. And they never brought him back. And he has been almost like persona non grata ever since. I know he did some stints with MLW and some other companies, but that and his attitude during the pandemic and all the things he was saying about the vaccine and all that stuff, kind of like, he just couldn't get himself on a television. And it's been years. It's been, I think, 6 years, and MLW brought him back. And here he was in the main event against Mystico. And he cut a scathing promo, man, before that match started. And those fans in Charleston were just letting him have it. It was so good. In fact, I kind of am rethinking about whether or not I want to drive 3 hours to go to Charleston for the next MLW show, because they got a really good crowd down there.
So Court's doing a really good job. Like, he's some of the MLW shit is still kind of ridiculous, the old Don Gatto thing. And they're kind of like picking the bones of Lucha Underground. But I don't think there's any murder and mayhem there going on there. No, I take that back. C.W. Anderson died in continuity. It's still kind of ridiculous, but I find it to be, it's weird that Court Bauer's promotion is less ridiculous than everything else right now. But this is where we are. Austin Aries might be the best heel in pro wrestling right now. Like, legitimately, people legitimately dislike him. Like,
yeah,
because he's not a likable guy. I'm of the mind. Like, I know we have reached this hive mind point where anybody who think like Austin Aries did some shitty stuff in his first TNA run, right? That stuff with Christy Hemme was gross.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago. It was a long
time.
And
he got punished for that, by the way.
He sure did get punished for that.
Yeah.
I'm of the mind that I don't think that someone, and as I sit here with long hair and like a headband, I don't think people who think differently than me shouldn't be allowed to work.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, pro wrestling is a place where you hire people you like and trust. So I understand that your actions do have consequences, but like, I don't believe that people who just think differently than me shouldn't be able to hold a job. Like, and I think that being an asshole pro wrestling might be the only place you can and still be effective.
Yeah. Hold on, DJ Convoy in the house.
Oh, DJ Convoy.
He says, if it makes me shy away from watching, I don't know if that's effective heel work. That's a good point.
When I had this,
but I don't know how many. I don't know how many people are like him out there. I think those like DJ Convoys who actually have morals and standards and actually are consistent, I don't think they're few and far between.
Well, here's the thing, though, is I don't know if actual heel work draws anymore. And we've had this discussion before, where like, it used to be you went to go see a guy who was completely hated. Now a lot of pro wrestling fans don't want that. And this is how you get puppets. Right. You get like, we want our heels to be cartoon, you know, mustache twirling people who, you know, I say tie people to train tracks. It's a joke, but James Storm actually did that once. Like, I don't know if we live in a world. I think that I gave my dissertation how John Moxley's refashioned himself to try to be a legitimate heel, a legitimate hateable heel in pro wrestling that fans actually do not like. And I think it's working for him, kind of, sort of. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if fans today – and DJ also says that I really – pull it up, Mike, his next comment. because I really hated MJF doing anti-Mexico stuff, and that's wrestling 101. I agree with that, and I agree with that. But I mean, like, I think with MJF, we kind of like it's a lot of wink and a nod stuff with him. Yeah, like I think he's trying to be a heel, unlike being someone who's completely repulsive. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, but I also don't know if that works anymore.
I don't think MJF has anything against Mexican fans. I think that's just been the trope forever. Guess what? That stuff works in Mexico. It gets way over. One of the most over personalities in Mexico right now is El Grande Americano from the WWE. They like stuff like that. Mexico and Mexican fans, they're not like super woke like we are to where we would get offended by that stuff. They don't get offended by it. They play into it. They enjoy it. The thing about Austin Aries, what makes him such an effective heel, and I think John Rich did a good job of explaining this, all the shit he's saying, he truly believes it.
Right.
Like he thinks that you're all idiots for taking a vaccine or for eating meat or for not being a vegan, for not living the lifestyle that he likes to live. He absolutely thinks that you're a moron for doing that. JD, do you have to go?
No, I'm off the screen.
Oh, okay. I thought you were having some students come in. So he absolutely thinks that, and I think that's why he's such an effective heel. I could see why him being anti-vax and all that stuff is going to turn off a certain subset of an audience. I don't think that's going to be enough for it to affect MLW. And in fact, I think it's going to be the opposite. I think it's going to actually help out MLW. It's actually helped out Austin Aries because now he's getting booked in CMLL. Because guess what? They like that stuff. They like heels to be heels.
He's also a really good pro wrestler. Like, say what you want about Austin Aries. Like, I really liked his WWE work. Like, when he
did you see his match with Mystico?
I have not. It's on. I found it. It's MLW Symphony of Horror on YouTube.
Symphony of Horror. Yeah.
I'm going to watch it.
They
gotta pull up.
They isolated the match, and it's not a 5-star classic, right? Austin Aries is still really good. It's an old school pro wrestling match, and he's just an old school heel. They don't do 1,000 moves because it's a CMLL match in America in Charleston, South Carolina, which I did not realize had a huge Hispanic population. So because I only went there to pick up my vehicle, I've not been back since. But I'm gonna go down there and check it out.
Like Convoy says, he was anti-vax before the pandemic. I recall in a WL interview where he was very condescending about health in general. Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. No one is disputing the fact that he's a complete fucking total idiot.
He is a libertarian hippie, right? Like he is like he's a vegan. He's super like into health and natural medicines and natural holistic cures, and he's a jerk about it. Like, but you know what? Like, could I get along with a guy like that? Of course I can. No. I like crazy people. I don't mind that stuff. My doctor yesterday told me I have to come back because they have the flu shot for me. So I'm going to go get my flu shot, and I have no bones about that. I think Austin Aries would tell me I'm an idiot for getting my flu shot, and I would just laugh. Like, it wouldn't bother me one bit. Like, I also got my MMR, and guess what? We have an outbreak here in South Carolina right now, and I'm thankful that me and my whole family got our measles vaccines. We're good.
I think I'm very pro public health. You know, who I choose to hang out with in my real life isn't who entertains me. I'm of the mind that I need more villains. I think pro wrestling only being able to have sanitized villains hurts it. Like I want people that I'm like, fuck that guy. Like, and it kind of entertains me. It helps me get lost in the show if I know the guy's an actual piece of shit. Like, and he's good at it. He's good at his job. I can't fault that with him. Like, I don't know. Maybe that makes me a hypocrite, but I have no problem calling myself one in this case.
So I was watching, unfortunately, I watched the Dallas Cowboys documentary on Netflix. I wasn't going to, but I did it anyway. Yeah, and episode 2 was all about how they beat the 49ers, and it pissed me off. I almost turned it off. But you know, during that episode was also about Jerry Jones trading for Charles Haley, right? Charles Haley played for the 49ers. He wanted out of his deal. He was not getting along with George Seifert, the coach, or Carmen Policy, the general manager. And he went into the general manager's office and proceeded to urinate on the general manager's desk. And the guy's like, okay, I can't work this guy anymore. He's bipolar. He's too crazy. And he traded him to the Dallas Cowboys, where he was a very good player, but a mess at times. And Jerry Jones said something like I thought was pretty apropos, and I think it relates to pro wrestling. If we're only going for choir boys, we're going to severely limit our talent pool. So we got to, we're going to bring in some guys that might not have the best character, but we're going to try to build them up and, you know, and have them play football and like maybe make them better. Right. And at some point, like you can't just, as long as the guy's not a criminal, right. Or a killer, you know, he might have some backwards views, but maybe you could still work with a person like that if they're treating people nice. The problem with Austin Arias has been in the past, he's not gotten along with his coworkers, right. And that's where he becomes a problem. Now, if he can get along with his coworkers, then, you know.
Well, here's the thing, though, is it depends on, I think there's like, you familiar with the How I Met Your Mother, the crazy hot scale, right?
Yes.
The hotter she is, the more crazy you'll allow. It's a hilarious show. I think there's truth about with pro wrestlers to an extent is you can be an asshole, but you better be able to draw some money. CM Punk being a great example of that. He's a complete asshole, but he draws money, so you allow it. Austin Aries, for as good as he is, he's never been a draw. He's never been in a position to be a draw, but he's also like 5'7", so he's never really been placed in that position to really draw money, right?
Yeah.
So this value is going to be significantly less, so there's less you're willing to put up with, right?
Yeah.
So I think
I just want to say what's up to Danny Delmore, a.k.a. Baby Huey. 1077 the game out of San Francisco. What's up, my brother? I love you.
Good metal station. So yeah. Ryan Armstrong says, do you think Austin Aries will ever participate in AEW? Yeah. And DJ Convoy in our chat saying no. And I agree.
No, I agree.
I think the AEW audience would immediately be up in arms and reject him to the point where they wouldn't watch it. It would be a massive headache for Tony. Deal with
right and to that point, JD, I don't mean to cut you off. Neither would the TNA audience or the WWE audience. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the MLW audience that has a YouTube show. Mm-hmm. So like now, I don't, and they may not get past that. So
however, is Austin Aries trying to maneuver this? He's working with MLW, who's AEW adjacent. He's working with CMLL now, who is straight up with AEW. So would Austin Aries like to work for Tony Khan? Yes, because he wants a full-time job. So I understand that. Can the AEW audience? No, like Lanza brought up a good point with this. They didn't like Dan Lambert. Like, and he was just doing like old school 50s, like women belong in the kitchen type stuff. And like, how dare you?
Right. He was very much playing a character. Dan Lambert, from what I hear, especially with some of like my friends who were like in the MMA community, couldn't be a bigger sweetheart. Right?
Yeah. Everyone.
Like, and like genuinely takes care of his fighters and the people that work for him. Like just a genuinely good human being.
Right.
That was playing Jim Cornette on TV.
Correct. In a dirty place like MMA, Dan Lambert was absolutely playing Jim Cornette. And the AEW fan base is so fucking they've sniffed their own farts so much, and they want like this, everyone loves each other, happy-go-lucky, you know, we just want villains that we can like love and cheer for. Like it's why the company fucking sucks. Like I love Dan Lambert. I thought that American Top King stuff was great because it was like finally an asshole on TV. I thought that was enjoyable. But
I thought he was different, and I thought that everybody would embrace that. Yeah.
Nope.
Now they stuck him with what was the tag team of Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, which I just didn't think had any chemistry. No. I just didn't think Ethan Page fit with Dan Lambert. So
no, I think they can never quite figure out what to do with Ethan Page. I think NXT overvalues Ethan Page. I don't think Ethan Page is that great. I think there's a middle ground between what NXT does with him and what AEW did with him that he could probably exist in. But that's me.
I think the way NXT is booking him, and the very little that I've seen, right? Because I have not watched a bunch, so I don't want like to sit here and pretend that I'm some NXT expert. I think they're booking him probably about as good as you could book an Ethan Page.
Oh yeah, 100%.
He is not a top level star. He's never going to be. He's a good like mid card heel that you can put your baby faces with, and hopefully they look better, right? And like I think that's where they're at. He's got a North American title, and I think him and Chelsea Green are now the AAA mixed tag team champions. They got that over the weekend. So, like I think like he is in a really good spot. He was never going to work out the way that they wanted him to work out in AEW. In fact, Brandi Rhodes said it best. We should have signed Josh Alexander instead, because Josh Alexander fits better with AEW than an Ethan Page does.
He's a better worker. Like, in AEW, there's a certain standard of work rate, and guys that they brought in who don't have that really struggle, and that's Ethan Page. Like, you know, it's whatever. Everyone belongs in a certain spot. I'm happy that he's happy in NXT, and it's working out great for him. They push him, and I don't have to watch him, so it's all worked out really well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but JD, I strongly recommend that you watch Mystico versus Austin Aries. I really enjoyed it. Again, it is not a Dave Meltzer thirst trap to where like they're doing thousands of moves and thousands of kickouts. It is a good old school Rudo versus Babyface Arena Mexico style match, but in a little bar in South Carolina. And I just thought it worked out really well.
Yeah. I don't need that for everything. So I will check it out.
Yeah. Also, I want to just make mention, since we're on the topic of MLW, I was like, well, it's the next video over. I'm going to go ahead and check out the Skyscrapers. And I'll be honest, I unironically enjoy the Skyscrapers.
I think it's – Court does this stuff sometimes where he'll, like, just recycle names from very famous acts and throw it out there. And it puzzles me sometimes. But, you know, who are these Skyscrapers in MLW? I don't even know.
Donovan Dijak and Baron Corbin.
Oh, God.
Now, are they good wrestlers? No.
Well, Donovan Dijak used to be really good. I don't like he went to the before he went to that warehouse in Orlando and like everything got lost, man. In like 2018, him and Keith Lee was like that independent attraction that was like selling places out everywhere and was awesome. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He just got old, I guess.
But hey, we're getting the hook, guys. We gotta roll. So I gotta get back to work. JD has to get back to work. But sorry, the audio is a little bit different and the video is a little bit different, and we're on at a weird time, but we got the show knocked out. Head over to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow if you really want to support the show. We greatly appreciate it. And until next time, mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game, better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. A made no way.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.